I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Welcome to Radio Times. The American Academy of Pediatrics has a simple answer to the question about whether it's okay to spank your child. No. They recently announced a new policy calling for a ban on spanking, saying that long-term research reveals that corporal punishment is not an effective form of discipline, and even more troubling, it increases the risk for aggression, anxiety, and depression in children and later as adults. It turns out that many adults who were physically punished as children often justify that behavior as parents, saying, "Well, I turned out okay, so it must not be that harmful." There are a number of states, mostly in the South, that sanction corporal punishment in schools, often with the support of parents. Well, this hour of Radio Times, we are going to discuss the use of physical punishment for children, what the research shows about its impact, and we'll discuss more effective and healthy forms of discipline. Joining us is Elizabeth Gershoff. She's a professor of human development and family sciences at the University of Texas in Austin. Her research has focused on how parental and school discipline affect children. Elizabeth Gershoff, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you so much.
Also with us, Stacey Patton, joining us from the studios of WEAA at Morgan State University, wrote a book called Spare the Kids, Why Whooping Children Won't Save Black America. She's an assistant professor of multimedia journalism at Morgan State University, which is in Baltimore, and she has written about the abuse that she endured as a child at the hands of her adoptive mother. And Stacey Patton, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you both with us. And I should say, we posted the show on our Facebook page on Friday, or yesterday, actually. Got a huge response. I'll be reading some of those comments during the hour, and we'll be taking calls as well. But let me begin with this new policy from AAP. And Elizabeth, I'll start with you. Back in 1988, they encouraged people not to spank their children. In 2018, they're saying, do not do it, essentially calling for a ban. What has happened in the last 30 years?
Well, what we've learned in the last 10 years since the last statement was that there's so much more research showing that spanking and physical punishment are harmful to children. First of all, we know that it's ineffective. Children who are spanked are not better behaved, so right away it's not achieving what parents want. And then when parents spank their children, they're increasing the risk that children will become aggressive, have mental health problems, have difficult relationships with the parents themselves, even have lower academic achievement. And so it's not working in getting children to behave well, and then it's having a risk of all these negative outcomes. And the research is so consistent that the American Academy of Pediatrics was convinced enough to update their statement to make it stronger than it was in the past.
I don't want to get caught up in semantics, but they define spanking as, quote, non-injurious, open-handed hitting with the intention of modifying child behavior. Stacey, your book is about whooping. I was thinking about hitting and beating. I think it's important that we define what it is that we're talking about. When you talk about whooping, Stacey, what do you mean?
It's, once again, it's semantics. So in African American culture, when you talk to parents or people who were hit as children, and you say, "Were you spanked as a child?" And some people will actually laugh at the word. They'll say, "No, I got whooped." And for them, it could be describing the types of objects that may have been used: a belt, switch, a hand, the severity of being hit. But in my book, I don't parse out degrees of violence. I don't play semantics. Spank, whoop, pop, beat. It all involves pain and hitting, and it all sets children up for the same types of negative karma.
And I do want to pick up on that. Elizabeth, let me go back to you. Does it matter what word we use during this hour?
Well, I think the most common word that families use is spanking, and so I think we can use that term. In schools, we use the term corporal punishment for some reason. I don't know why schools use that very formal term, but I don't think any parents think of what they do as corporal punishment, even though it's really the same thing. I think along the lines of what Stacey just said, I think what we need to recognize is that all of these forms of disciplining children with hurting are all hitting. And hitting is the basis of all of them. And so I would like to say that we're going to use the word hitting, but right. I think a lot of parents probably wouldn't want to do that. So I think spanking or physical punishment are probably good terms to use.
Fair enough. Let me go back to you, Elizabeth. Just how common is then spanking or hitting children these days? Do we know?
Well, what's interesting is people will tell me, well, you know, no one spanks anymore, and that's why children are so poorly behaved these days. You know, I've heard that a lot.
I have
and
too,
it's
yes.
actually not true. The vast majority of parents, so upwards of 80% of parents, still spank their children at some point in the United States. And that's actually higher than global rates. The UNICEF has done studies in hundreds of countries, or not hundreds, but dozens of countries. And the U.S. is actually higher than most other countries. So what I think has changed is parents are spanking less often. So they may spank only a few times a year now instead of every week in the past they might have done in the past. And I think parents are less likely to use objects to hit their children. So it's less frequent, less severe, but the prevalence is still pretty high.
Yeah, 80% is pretty high. Stacey, your book is really about Black families. Help us understand about spanking or hitting in Black families. How common do you think that is?
I think it's very common. I would say the vast majority of Black parents hit their kids. And this is based on the types of conversations I hear in churches, social spaces, social media especially. We have Black parents who are doing things like picking up video cameras and recording themselves physically punishing their kids, sometimes beating them with objects like extension cords and belts, and then uploading them on popular social media sites like WorldStar, Hip Hop, Facebook. Sometimes they're live streaming the beatings, and then these things get shared millions of times, and they garner tons of comments, and people see this as, you know, responsible Black parenting. They'll say, this is we need more moms and dads to deal with these kids in this way, or we wouldn't have so many problems in our communities. And so we also have 18 states, I believe, that allow corporal punishment in public schools. And in many of those districts, the parents have to sign opt-in forms
right.
to say, yes, you can hit my child if they act out. And in every state, with the exception of New Jersey and Iowa, allows corporal punishment in charter and private schools. We don't have good data to show how prevalent it is in those settings because they don't report these numbers to the federal government. But it's such a myth that these kids today are so bad because they're not being hit anymore. Mm. We're still a country that where the majority of children are being hit by their parents.
Which is something that you said as well, Elizabeth. I mean, why do you think we could do a whole hour on this? But since you raised it, I mean, that in America, we hit children more than many other countries. Why do you think that is?
Well, that would be an excellent question to answer, but I think it gets to the root of our our overall culture of violence. We use violence, we accept violence as a way of solving problems, and don't think it's a problem to play lots of violent video games and have violent movies and television and to use, you know, violence in war and things like that. And so we just have lots of violence in our communities and so many guns. And so there's just an overall acceptance of violence in our culture. And so hitting children is just one kind of, I think many people think, a minor part of that. I think it would take a big change in how we treat each other, all humans in the United States, for us to really accept the idea that we could discipline children without hitting them.
Well, adults are not allowed to hit each other, right, Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's the thing, is we have an exception for children in this country that any adult who hits another adult could be charged with assault, but an adult who hits a smaller human is not charged with assault. And so we have this double standard for children, which seems rather bizarre given that children are small and vulnerable and actually need more protection than adults, not less. But I think that the root of that is our treatment of children as property of parents. And we, as Americans, kind of see the home as a very, there's some sanctity to the home, and the government should not get involved. And whatever parents do behind closed doors right. is kind of their business. And that, I think, will need to change. We saw that change in views about hitting women. There were very similar views that husbands were allowed to hit women behind closed doors. She was the property. And those attitudes changed starting in the 50s, 60s, and into the 70s. And so I think we're starting to see the first bits of that kind of change in the United States about children. Around the world, we're seeing it much more quickly. Many other countries have acknowledged that parents don't have the right to hit children, and children have the right to be free from violence, just like adults do, and so that they have human rights. And so 54 countries have made it illegal for anybody to hit children.
Stacey, let me go back to you. And you wrote something in the New York Times. I actually saved it, March 10th, 2017. It was titled Stop Beating Black Children, where you described the kind of abuse. I don't think there's any other word we can use for this. The abuse that you had to endure at the hands of your, as you describe, my black middle class adoptive mother. And you describe in vivid detail what she would do to you for doing things that kids do, you know, rolling your eyes, telling lies, as you say, any number of other childhood misbehaviors. Can you talk a little bit about what happened to you and do you understand why?
I definitely understand why, and I think that, as I wrote in both of my books and on this issue, that it's rooted in the history of racism. A lot of African Americans think that beating children is a black thing. You'll actually hear them say it, and I'll say that's absolutely not true. This is something that spans across race, class, culture, region, religion, et cetera, in this country. But there's a different kind of historical specificity to the problem when we talk about it in African American culture. In my second book, I looked at pre-colonial West African cultures prior to contact with whites, prior to the slave trade and the Middle Passage experience. And I found absolutely no evidence that this type of ritualistic punishment practice existed in those cultures or among indigenous people here in North America. And so it was hitting children became a byproduct of colonialism, of the enslavement process, the brutality of slavery, and our indoctrination into Western Christianity, you know, that whole concept of spare the rod and so on. And so my adoptive parents had roots in the South. Their parents, my adoptive father was a sharecropper in Mississippi. So they lived in a very violent, you know, setting where black communities were under siege. And so beginning on the plantation, many enslaved parents believed that, look, a beating from me is better than from the overseer or the master. Mm-hmm. And then after slavery, it became dangerous to be a black child. Now you could kill black children in lynchings and raids on homes and such. So they felt they needed to reinforce racial etiquette and proper boundaries and messages about place by reinforcing it sometimes with a whooping, because that whooping they believed would save their life. And then flash forward to when I'm a kid growing up in the 80s and 90s, my adoptive mother had the same fears. We were experiencing in this country the war on drugs, the beginning of the rise of mass incarceration. There was still police brutality. And so black parents, you know, parented with this fear that I need to keep you alive. I need to make sure you survive adulthood. And so if I do this, it's better than you ending up in jail or, you know, in a box. And so they parented in that way. And my adoptive parents were also deeply religious. They were Pentecostals. And so all of this undergirded their parenting style.
I do want to pick up on that. And that is Stacey Patton. And she is an assistant professor of multimedia journalism at Morgan State University. Wrote a book titled Spare the Kids, Why Whooping Children Won't Save Black America. Elizabeth Gershoff is a professor of human development and family sciences at the University of Texas in Austin. And we are talking about spanking, hitting children. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow, and we're talking about a new report from the American Academy of Pediatrics calling for a ban on spanking children. We're talking about the use of physical punishment for children, what the research shows, and we'll be discussing some of the more effective and healthy forms of discipline. And again, talking with Stacey Patton and Elizabeth Gershoff. As I mentioned, a lot of comments that we had. Let me just give out the phone number. It's 1-888-477-9499. And you can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me read a comment from Ray, because he's really underscoring, Stacey, what you were saying right before the break. And he says, one thing that frustrates me about this conversation, when it comes to black families, there was a time in America where black families had a fear that a kid who mouthed off to a white person wouldn't come home again. It's important to take environment into account, which really underscores what you were saying, Stacey, whether it was true or not, or effective or not, that there was a message implicit, it sounds like, in the kind of beatings that you got.
Yes. And I often hear, if you go on social media under any post about spanking, any policy, any new science, you'll hear black folks especially say, well, it's better that we do this to our own kids, or our kids will end up in prison or on the streets, or police officers will kill them. And so I usually chime in and I say, well, let's look at the data. So how many unarmed black children have been killed by police officers? And usually they can name Tamir Rice or Mike Brown, right, and a few other cases that have captured headlines. But then I say, okay, now let's look at the annual child maltreatment reports that are published each year. And I had looked at the raw numbers over the past 10 years. And black children die at about 300, an average of 360 black children are killed every single year at the hands of their parents and caretakers as a result of maltreatment. About 40% of those are due to being hit, hitting that escalated. And so I make the point that black children are more at risk of being assaulted, seriously injured, or killed by their own parents and caretakers than a cop. And so, and also, if keeping black people out of prisons or from being brutalized by cops or killed by cops, if that parenting tactic was so effective, then why are we having national conversations about police brutality and mass incarceration in America?
Let me pick up on that and toss it to you, Elizabeth Gershoff. Based on what Stacey Patton was just saying there, let's talk about then the impacts of, and it's not just an occasional maybe once or twice in a child's lifetime, but the more go-to discipline of corporal discipline or hitting of children. Talk a bit more about what that research does tell us, and perhaps even the circular effect that happens. A child gets hit, they feel angry, then maybe they take it out on someone else. Take us through that dynamic.
Well, when you ask parents why they spank their children, they give two main reasons. One is safety, so running out into the street or reaching up for the stove, or possibly neighborhood violence, as Stacey referred to. The other reason is, ironically, the child has hit someone else. And so right away, we see that there's a mixed message there in both those cases. For one, if it's a safety issue, if a child is running into the street and I want my child not to get hit by the truck that's coming down the street, I will grab them and pull them back to the street. Now, why would I then, I've just protected them, so why would I then hurt them myself? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. We've just told the child to stay safe, stay near me, and stay on the sidewalk, but then I might actually hurt you when you're here. So that gives the child a very mixed message. And then when a parent spanks a child for hitting another child, so that's a pretty common thing. You know, parents will say, don't hit, and then hit the child. The child is getting a very mixed message. The parent is saying one thing but doing another. And the parent is showing by their actions that if you have more power over somebody, you can use that power to physically control them and physically hurt them and get them to do what you want. And so it's not really a surprise that we see aggression as probably the most consistently linked in the research with spanking, that when children are spanked, they become more aggressive over time. And that is true even for children who start off aggressive, because some people will say to me, and this is a valid concern, well, maybe it's just that the aggressive children are eliciting more spanking from their parents. Right. They're very difficult.
Right.
Parents get stressed. And we find that that's true. It is true that children who are difficult elicit more spanking. However, once you take that into account, spanking still predicts more aggression even among those children. So it's not effective in making children less aggressive, and actually makes them more aggressive. It makes them more likely to be delinquent. It makes them more likely to have mental health problems like depression or anxiety. They have lower self-esteem, and as I mentioned, they have lower academic achievement. And so all of these are things that parents don't want to see in their children. And then one of the more upsetting findings that's very consistent as well is that parents who spank run the risk of physically abusing their children. And this does not mean that all parents who spank are going to be physically abusing children, at least by the definitions here in the United States that we have. It means that parents who spank, if they spank when they are really angry, when they're altered by substances, they may take it too far and hit the child too long or too hard and injure them. And we find from interviewing parents who physically abuse their children that 75% of cases of physical abuse started out as physical punishment. Hmm. The child did something that the parent didn't like. They started hitting them. maybe the child did something that made the parent even madder, like laughed at them or something, and then the parent just got out of control and hurt the child.
And that's, in many ways, it is a parent, maybe for legitimate or not legitimate reasons, is out of control.
Yes, they're out of control, but they also think they're disciplining. I mean, they don't think they're abusing their children. They think that they're doing the right thing. And that's what makes this really hard to change, is parents, you know, for centuries, we have been told that the way to raise children is to hit them. And unfortunately, there are all these side effects that are occurring that we just need to deal with and acknowledge. And acknowledge that it's perfectly reasonable and possible to raise children without hitting them. You know, as adults, we don't solve our problems by hitting each other. I mean, I can't hit people that I work with if I don't like their performance. We just don't do that. So why are we doing that with our children? That's not teaching them skills that are going to help them be successful adults.
Let me read some comments here on some more from our Facebook comment from Lisa. She says, I still remember the terror of my mom coming at to spank me, crawling under the bed to escape, being dragged out by a leg and having to deal with an even angrier mom. Her temper was frightening and contributed to a deadly erosion in our relationship. I've been estranged from her for over 30 years and she, quote, still doesn't understand why. Let me go back to you, Stacey. As you said, this was an adoptive mother. Were there moments in your relationship where you felt a closeness to her or that she cared for you, loved you, would protect you?
No. I came to live with her when I was 5 years old. And so there was a 2-year waiting period that we had to go through before the adoption was finalized. And right away, she started hitting me, even on visits when the social worker would pick me up and take me back to my foster home. Mm. And so, you know, I was 5 years old the first time I ever got hit. She backhanded me in my mouth for pouting. Mm. And in my entire world came crashing down because no one had ever put their hands on me. So here was this person that was supposed to love and nurture me and keep me safe, making me feel unsafe for the first time in my life. And so then there was all the messaging that went along with it. I hit you because I love you. I hit you because I want to keep you safe. I hit you because I don't want the white man to kill you. I mean, it was all of this brainwashing that went along with it. Or, you know, she would hug me afterwards and say, I'm going to sit down and talk to you and explain to you why I'm going to hit you. And, I was 5 years old. And so and I was a precocious 5-year old. So none of the messaging worked. She would say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I looked at her one time and I said, well, stop hurting us both. And of course, that, you know, got another hit.
Wow.
And so I think also because I was adopted, I didn't have that sort of that biological connection with her. And I didn't, there wasn't enough time for me to bond with her emotionally before she started the hitting. So, and I also heard stories about how she grew up. And in church, we would hear about how you have to hit kids. So there was part of me that normalized it. I thought, okay, all black kids grow up to get hit. So that I really thought this is just something that black people do until I got older. And I'm like, no, this isn't right. And so I left their home. I ran away finally when I was 12 years old and I ended up in foster care. And I've been doing the work of healing ever since. And that has not included, you know, any sort of reconciliation or forgiveness of her.
In fact, you say you still have welts on your body or scars, I guess, from where she hit you.
Yeah, on my face, I have extension cord marks that are there. Mm-hmm. I wake up every morning. I feel them. I touch them. I remind myself of why I have to do this work that I do, because there are other kids out there who are being handled this way and being lied to and told that this is love, that this is going to protect them, this is going to keep them safe. And we're really destroying young people. And we don't see how the treatment of children's bodies is foundational to a lot of these public health issues that we see in terms of just individual physical health with chronic diseases, inflammation in the body, obesity, birth outcomes, and in the violence that we see. And even in my classrooms at Morgan State, state. You know, I have to have a trauma-informed pedagogy dealing with college students because many of them have backgrounds where they were treated the same way, and this has inhibited their creativity, stifled their voices, and so on. So it has it has implications over the lifespan of human beings.
That's Stacy Patton, and again, assistant professor of multimedia journalism at Morgan State University. That's in Baltimore. Wrote a book called Spare the Kids, Why Whooping Children Won't Save Black America. Elizabeth Gershoff with us as well, and she's a professor of human development and family sciences at the University of Texas in Austin and has done long-term research looking at how parental and school discipline affects children, and we are responding to this report and, frankly, a ban that the American Academy of Pediatrics is calling for, a ban on spanking or hitting children. Let me read some more comments here. An email from Caden says, isn't grabbing a child's arm really hard or inflicting pain in any form just as bad? Isn't it sending the same message to a child? And I guess, Elizabeth, it gets to, you know, just when we're talking about hitting someone, there are various forms of that. Some of them are more, obviously, more punishing than others. Should we draw a distinction here, or is there a place for, I guess, grabbing a child?
Well, I think physical punishment technically involves anything that would inflict pain on the child. So squeezing a child, pinching a child, twisting their ear, pulling their hair, any of those things would also be considered physical punishment. In the United States, every state has laws about what constitutes child abuse. And in some states, they actually say that physical abuse can result from excessive physical punishment, which is interesting. It means that the states have recognized there's a connection between physical punishment and physical abuse. But in most states, what ends up happening is social workers and family court judges have to decide whether an incident involves abuse. And kind of the rule of thumb is whether an injury lasts more than 24 hours. So a slap on the face that leaves a pink mark probably won't be there 24 hours later. But anything that leaves a cut, a bruise, a welt, broken bones, obviously, would last more than 24 hours, and those would be considered physically abusive in the United States. Now, again, other countries have decided that those kind of distinctions are arbitrary and that we should consider any form of violence, no matter how mild, abusive. So in 54 countries, there is no quote-unquote line between punishment and abuse. But here in the United States, each state does it in their own laws.
Let me get Charnel from, looks like Newcastle, Delaware, to join us on Radio Times. And Charnel, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and leave a comment. I'm an African-American female. I have one child. I don't hit her. My parents never hit me. My grandparents never hit my parents. And, like, our general philosophy about that is that that's a child. You're an adult. You should be smarter than the child. You should be able to get the child to do what you want to do, what you want them to do without hitting them. You should be patient enough to talk to them, to guide them without physical punishment. And also that doing the right thing and acting appropriately should be an internal thing and not from external stimuli. You shouldn't do the right thing just because you're afraid that I might hit you or abuse you.
So you do the right thing because you want to do the right thing.
Yes, and because it's the right thing to do.
Right. I hear you. Charnel, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Stacy Patton, anything you want to say back to Charnel?
Yes, I love hearing messages like this of people who, you know, grew up without that kind of violence and coercion. They do exist. I have a whole chapter in my book, Spare the Kids, with African-American parents who either were never hit their kids, or they started off hitting their kids and they made the change. I think it's important for voices like hers to be, you know, uplifted and elevated so that parents can believe, like, look, my child will turn out fine and grow up and be safe, even if I don't put my hands on them. So I really appreciate her comments.
Me too. Charnel, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Elizabeth, let me go back to you. And another part of this report had to do with things like even beyond yelling, but belittling, shaming children. Doesn't leave a mark the way physically hitting them does, but can be I think, just as deleterious, just as harmful, just as having long-lasting impacts.
Definitely. I mean, any kind of denigration of children, shaming them, making them feel badly about themselves can have long-term harm to their self-esteem, to their mental health. And so parents should really avoid anything like that. So, for example, parents should not say things like, I don't like you or I don't love you when you do that, or you're a bad boy. Those kind of things are very global statements about the child will make them feel really terrible about themselves. Instead, we want to focus on the behavior, that particular behavior was not something that we liked. And so let's figure out how to fix that behavior and behave, make different choices in the future. But any time that parents try to make children feel badly about themselves, that can really backfire, and children can have mental health problems long into the future.
Well, as a parent myself, I mean, there are good days and bad days. Being a parent is a really hard thing to do. And I'm wondering, Elizabeth, for those parents that just, you know, lose it one day, it's not a common thing for them to hit their children, but let's say they spank them. What do they do after the effect? What do they do to mitigate some of the harmful effects?
Well, I think they could just acknowledge to themselves first that they were angry and realize that they need to stop themselves before they do something like that again. And so that in future, when they feel themselves getting that angry, they need to take a time out. Not the child, but the parent needs to take a time out and count to 10 and just really calm themselves down before they discipline. But then I would actually go to the child and apologize. I mean, if we hurt any other person in our lives, we apologize to them and say, I made a mistake. That is so powerful to children when the parents or adults admit, I make mistakes too. You know, it's hard sometimes to do the right thing all the time. And I'm trying my best too. And that, you know, children really respond to that honesty. And so, you know, the parent can say, here's what I'm going to do to try to do things better, and let's figure out what you can do so that you can make better choices in the future, too, and really think about it and plan it so that parents can avoid being in a situation where they might hurt their children inadvertently.
Let's take a very short break, and we'll get back to our conversation with Elizabeth Gershoff and Stacey Patton. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe, talking about something that the American Academy of Pediatrics did last month, which was to issue a new policy essentially banning spanking for children, saying that not only is it ineffective, it has serious behavioral, cognitive, relational impacts on kids that can have lifelong consequences. And again, talking with Elizabeth Gershoff, Professor of Human Development and Family Sciences at the University of Texas in Austin, and Stacey Patton, author of a book called Spare the Kids, Why Whooping Children Won't Save Black America. Stacey, let me go back to you, and you have a chapter in your book about mothers disciplining their sons, and you have a long interview description of a man you describe, Gordon, who was, I guess like yourself in many ways, severely beaten by his mother, but you talk about not only the impact on him, but how that can impact a relationship with the women in a man's life.
Mm-hmm. And those testimonies from Gordon and other black males that I interviewed mirror much of what we see in studies that show that children who witness domestic violence between parents are at higher risk of repeating some of that behavior in their relationships later in life. But what I decided to do was really probe this discussion that we have about black motherhood in African-American cultures. If you listen to some of the hip hop music, say like Tupac's song on Dear Mama, you know, he really celebrates his mother. There's a line in there when he talks about being beaten by his mother. You can listen to other rap lyrics from other artists who do the same thing. They talk about their mothers beating them. It's the absent dad, but then the mom was there to beat them into civility and to success. We saw it in the movie with Dr. Dre as well. And so I really wanted to probe this question about whether the socialization of boys at the hands of moms who may have been, you know, physical with them has an impact on their relationships, how they treat women later in life, how they treat their own daughters, how they see themselves. And I felt that, you know, anytime we bring up this kind of conversation, it gets shut down. It's seen as, oh, here we're blaming black moms again. We're stereotyping black women as angry. The black men who talk about their own trauma at the hands of their mother, that too is also seen as misogynistic. And I felt like if we're going to heal as a culture and understand where this parenting practice came from in the first place, historically, how it got embedded in our culture, then how also it impacts our relationships between men and women. We have to make a seat at the table for black men and women to talk about, you know, the treatment at the hands of their mothers and their fathers. And so it was a tough chapter. It was the hardest chapter for me to write because I'd never talked to so many men who would just cry, just break down and cry in these interviews, because this was the first time they could actually talk about that pain.
But also talking about a love that they have for their mom, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The love is there. And see, that's the thing, you know, that's what makes this conversation so difficult, because it's the people who love us, who hit us. And as our brains are developing, the messages of pain and love merge in our brain and sort of get experienced as it becomes like a biological experience. Any other kind of violence, you know, we don't invert it as good, as something that made me the man I am or the woman I am today. And it seems like it's taboo or treasonous to look back on our parents and say, you know, that really hurt me. My mom was wrong. My dad was wrong for doing this. But I tell people, you can still honor your mother and father and look at this particular aspect of your childhood and say, you know what, it did have an impact on me. And maybe we should talk about it so we figure out ways to break the cycle for future generations.
Let me read another comment, and then we'll take a call or comment from Kate on Facebook. Spanking is fine as long as it's not all the time. It gets the point across fast and helps the child learn to never do it again. And we have Judy calling is from Horsham. And Judy, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
I beat my kids probably once every 3 or 4 months. And I got to spend more time loving my children. And when I tell them to do something, they would do it. I didn't have to argue with a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old.
Why, Judy, let me ask you, why then do you beat them every couple of months?
Because they'd forget that I'm boss, because we spend so much time doing things together. And I think after a while, they would forget and they would do something wrong. Like when they would go to touch the electrical outlet. I mean, I jumped on them and spanked them, and they never went near it again. I mean, just stuff like that.
How old are your kids, Judy?
When I tell them to go to bed, they would go to bed. This was when they were younger. They're all grown adults now and very well adjusted.
Let me take your point and see what Elizabeth Gershoff has to say. And that should not surprise us, hearing from parents who are saying, I did this and my kids turned out okay.
Right. And I think most of us were spanked and think we turned out okay as well. And one of the things I say to parents is, well, do you think it was really the spanking that did it? Or do you think it was all the other things that you did or our parents did to us that taught us right from wrong? And so the spanking itself is not what taught us. It was the parents sitting us down and saying, okay, here's what you did that we didn't like, and here's what we want you to do next time in the future to make a better choice. And all those times that they sat us down at the kitchen table, but then all the times they came to our school functions and helped us with homework and, you know, took us to church and all the other things that they did to teach us about morals and right from wrong. I think it's all of those things that turned out okay. And we turned out okay in spite of spanking, not because of it. And I want to echo something Stacy said, which is that I think we can change our parenting behaviors from our own parents, because we know so much more now about how hitting hurts children. And, you know, I give an example of when I was a child, my parents' car did not have seatbelts. And so we were just bouncing around in the station wagon. Now, just because my parents did that and I turned out okay, I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm not going to take that risk that we now know very clearly that if you don't have a seatbelt and you get in an accident, you're going to have serious injuries. And so I can change my behavior from my parents. Do I think my parents did the right thing? Well, they did the best they could. They did the best they could with the knowledge they have. But now, would my parents put their own grandchildren in a car without seatbelts? Of course not.
Right.
They themselves have changed their behavior. So we can learn over time what's good for kids, and we can change things through the generations. And I mean, I think it's great that so many children are turning out okay. That's fantastic. But I would challenge people to think, is it the hitting or is it all the other things that we're doing to promote kids' good behavior?
And we should say, and I even going back to this report from the Academy, they talk about the importance of rewarding positive behavior, that if you want to try to control behavior in a children, withholding privileges is a much better way to go than actually hitting a child. And consistency, of course. And again, as a parent myself, it's hard to do all those things, but it seems that those are much more effective than smacking a kid.
Definitely. I mean, there's nothing that works all the time and for every child. We have to change how we react based on the child's age, based on what they did, based on even their temperament. Some kids, you just have to look at them sideways and they change their behavior.
Right.
And some other kids need a little more talking to. And so we have to be flexible. And that makes parenting a really hard job, definitely. And kids still do need discipline. Just because we're advocating for parents not to spank their children, that doesn't mean we're not advocating for discipline. Discipline is still important because discipline means teaching. And one of our most important jobs as parents is to teach children right from wrong.
Judy, sorry about that. Judy, thanks.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Thanks for calling into Radio Times. A lot of people want to join this conversation. Let me read a question from Tricia. She says, can you address whether there's any data that indicates a direct relationship between spanked, hit, whooped, and being involved in the criminal justice system? I don't know, Stacey, have you looked at that? Or Elizabeth, have you looked at that, Stacey?
Well, there's lots more studies that need to be done on this. There are a few studies. I remember one. If someone wants to email me, I can look up the report in my bibliography. But there was one institution in New York City where they did brain scans on kids who are locked up in the juvenile detention center, and they found lesions on these kids' brains. And a lot of these kids had not been in any accidents, no car accidents, no football injuries, none of that. But a lot of this was a result of trauma that they had experienced at home. There are certain places that are in their intake forms starting to ask young people if they have been corporally punished. Mm-hmm. So Liz would know more than I would whether there's, more of these studies looking at whether kids who are hit are more likely to end up in the juvenile justice system or not. A lot of people actually believe the opposite, that hitting their child is going to keep them out of prison or, you know. So I haven't seen a whole lot of data on this. I think Liz would probably be best to answer that question.
Yeah, you want to take that, Elizabeth?
Sure. Yeah, there are definitely studies that show that the more children are spanked, the more likely they are to engage in delinquent behaviors. I don't know specifically about the rates of them getting into juvenile detention. We also know that as adults, they're more likely to engage in criminal behavior. And so we think that's because they haven't learned the reasons why they shouldn't do those things. They only refrain from them when someone's around to punish them. As soon as someone's not there to punish them, there's no reason for them to engage in appropriate and lawful behaviors. So it makes sense that it would lead to it. Of course, it does not mean that all children who are spanked are going to turn out that way.
Sure.
But I know from people who have worked with folks in prison, if you ask people in prison how many of them had been corporally punished, it's virtually all of them, and virtually all of them have actually been abused. But many of them, almost all of them, have been corporally punished. And so, although it doesn't go, it's not that spanking always leads to prison. Everyone in prison was spanked, so you can kind of take that for what you will.
Yeah, and that's important to understand the difference there, but also just important to understand. A Facebook comment from Angie, I agree corporal punishment is not cool, but there needs to be education on what is an appropriate way of dealing with behavior, as many people don't have good role models for nonviolent parenting. A comment from Ellen, she says, I'm a 90-year-old white Jewish woman. I spank my kids, and listening to this program, I regret it now. Ellen, thank you for saying that. An email from Andrew. true. I sometimes find that my five-year-old understands me less when I raise my voice. What does contemporary research tell us about the effectiveness of shouting when trying to discipline children? Is it actually counterproductive or perhaps even damaging? We touched on that earlier, Elizabeth. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think when we shout at children and yell at them, it's because we are really angry ourselves. And so just like we don't want anybody yelling at us, like if my boss starts yelling at me, I'm not going to be able to listen to his message very well. So if we find ourselves wanting to yell, again, we need to take a time out ourselves and calm down before we approach our children and talk about the situation. Because as we talked about before, yelling usually comes with insults and things that will make children feel bad about themselves and that won't help them learn right from wrong.
Stacey, what's been the reaction? Your book has been out a couple of months now, but what has been the reaction to it?
It's been mixed. So some parents have told me that after reading the book, it's made them rethink their parenting strategies. It has debunked a lot of myths about corporal punishment. Some people have called me racist because I focused on this issue as it relates specifically to African Americans. And I trace the historical trajectory of the practice coming out of Europe and it being a byproduct of slavery, colonialism. So in other words, Europeans taught black folks how to beat their kids. And so some white people have, you know, come into my mailboxes and say, oh, good, blame whitey for everything. Mm-hmm. So that's been, I get those comments from people. Some black folks are uncomfortable, basically saying airing dirty laundry. They pull out the fact that I don't have children. And so they say I have no place in this discussion. And so I usually say, well, if I'm a doctor who wants to cure testicular cancer, must I have testicles and cancer to talk about how to do this? Or, you know, so there's a lot of derailing. And I get the, you know, well, you turned out fine. Look, you have a PhD, you're a professor and a journalist. So something must have worked in that. So it's been mixed. And sure. I've had some people who say, you know what, I'm not even going to read this. And funny enough, I've gotten a few messages from people who say, oh, she can't even spell whooping. So a lot of people spell whooping whooping, and I'm like, that's actually a sound. Whooping, whooping, is the actual hitting. So it's been interesting. But I have to say that since the Adrian Peterson case and LaToya Graham wading out into a race riot and going upside her son's head, I've been heartened to see more national and international discussion about this issue. Because when I was a kid in the 80s and 90s, this conversation was only happening among, you know, social scientists, psychologists, and others, but not in this, you know, very broad and public way, and especially not on radio and like this. So I'm happy that this discussion is happening.
An email from Mary. Heard your opening today, and I'm awash with memories of my spankings/beatings. Had to pull my car off the road. I'm 70 years old and occasionally have these moments. I forgave my parents long ago, and in parenting tried the 100-degree, obviously a different approach from what her parents did with her. And Elizabeth, we're almost out of time. Any final thoughts in 20 seconds or less? Sorry about that.
Well, I just would encourage parents who are interested in trying other methods to seek them out. There's lots of positive discipline techniques out there. If you just Google positive discipline, you'll find all kinds of things. The American Academy of Pediatrics has a website, Healthy Kids, which has some suggestions. Mm-hmm. And so there is help out there, and there are alternatives, and I just encourage everyone to try some of those, because it doesn't feel good hurting our kids, and I think we'd all feel better if we didn't.
Elizabeth Gershoff, thank you so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you.
And she's a professor of human development and family sciences at the University of Texas in Austin. Stacey Patton, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And she's an assistant professor of multimedia journalism at Morgan State University in Baltimore, author of a book, Spare the Kids, Why Whooping Children Won't Save Black America. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out more about the program. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Bilder, John Ahrens, and Alex Stern. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you for joining us.